I want to preach for just a little while this evening, and I want to be as brief as I possibly can. I want to preach for just a little while this evening on religious hell. Religious hell is what I want to preach on. Religious hell. Is everybody listening? Matthew chapter 7. Everybody standing. Matthew chapter 7. William Booth said, does anybody know what William Booth said before 1875? If anybody knows what William Booth said, would you raise your hand? What William Booth said, you might want to write this down if you write shorthand. You might want to write this down. Listen what William Booth said before 1875. William Booth said the danger of the 20th century will be, number one, regeneration without repentance. What about that? Regeneration without repentance. Now, what really bothers me, that people in hell tonight believes in repentance, and we got Baptist preachers don't believe in it. Matthew 16:27. Jesus said, notice now, the rich man said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For said I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham answered and said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. But he answered, nay, Father Abraham, but if one woman took them from the dead, said they will repent. What about that? What about that rich man in hell believed in repentance? And we've got Baptist preachers that don't believe in it. Matthew 3:1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching. He is preaching. Preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus said in Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:5, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 5:31-32, and Jesus answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Hey, we didn't let some folk get sick enough. Jesus said, I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. So by listening, when Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, the Bible said in Acts 2:37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that ye sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Acts 20:20-21, how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. But Paul said, I've showed you, taught you, word publicly, and from word house to house, testifying both to the Jew, also to the Greek, repentance toward God. There it is again. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Second Peter 3:9, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to what? Repentance. Then Second Corinthians for godless sorrow. Second Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, for godless sorrow. Work of repentance to salvation, not to be repented thereof, but the sorrow of the world, work of death. Everybody look at me. I'm trying now. I don't know if I'll ever reach this goal or not. But Brother Kim, I'm going to work on it. I'm quitting asking folk when they got saved. I'm through with that. I've shocked you a little bit. I'm going to quit asking folk when they got saved, preacher. You know what I'm going to ask them? I'd like you to tell me about when you got under conviction. Because if you never did get under conviction, hey, you're lost tonight.
Yep.
Amen? I'm trying. I don't know if we'll ever reach that goal. I'm going to quit asking folks, hey, when did you get saved?
Yeah.
Or when did you get under conviction? The second thing that Mr. Booth said before 1875, the danger of the 20th century, number one, regeneration without repentance. Number two, conversion without conviction. No conviction, no conversion. No conviction, no conviction, no conversion. No conviction, no conversion. No. I can settle that with one verse, but Jack, John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. You can't argue with that. John 16:7-9, Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For he said, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But said, if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he's come, said, he'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because they go unto the Father. And you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. John 6:37. Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now that great song, sir, that great song that you sung, Beulah Lamb, that great song, first time I ever heard, I've known Brother Squire Parson for years that wrote a bunch of these songs that's been sang tonight. I've known him for years. He's my dear friend. But the first time I ever heard Beulah Lamb, I'd closed out a meeting in Mount Airy, North Carolina. Down there in North Carolina. And we was coming back down 77. If it hadn't been snowing so hard, I'd have took 40 and went through Asheville, North Carolina, and I'd have went home that way. But I was afraid I couldn't make it through the mountains. So I went on down to Charlotte, picked up 85, Interstate 85, and I was headed west on 85. Had Big Waggy on, and they played Beulah Lamb. First time I ever heard it. Now, people was off in the media. You know, on account of the snow and everything, they'd run off the road. But I thought, listen, I was going to have to pull off on the side and just get out and run in the snow.
Yep.
That's right.
Yep.
I was doing my best. I thought I was going to have to pull off on the media. Listen, over on the side and get out and run and shout and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Great song. And he wrote that song, He Came to Me. Now that's good. I like it. That's a great song. God's got to take the initiative. He took it. He took it in Genesis, didn't he? But now God's got to take the initiative. After Eve added to the Word of God, and then she partook of that fruit that God commanded them not to partake of, and she gave it to Adam. He was right there with him, and he ate. And they both realized that they were naked. Did they go looking for God? No. They took fig leaves and sewed them together and made themselves aprons out of the fig leaves, but that never covered their nakedness in the sight of God. No, here's what covered it. Genesis 3:21. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothed them. Who killed them animals? God did. Who skinned them animals? God did. Who made them coats? God did. Who put them on? God did. That's salvation by grace through faith, minus nothing, plus nothing. It is the gift of God. That's Hebrews 9:22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's no forgiveness, no forgiveness, no cleansing, no. Outside of that precious blood that was shed, and what a drop of it spilled, he shed his blood. Absolutely. How wonderful. Number three, I hope this don't bother you. Please don't let this bother you, what Mr. Booth said. Number three, he said salvation without lordship. That's tough there. But I looked at a verse before I came up on the podium. I was looking at a verse here in Acts 2 and verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God have made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Convicted without a doubt. How would you have liked to have been Stephen? Got a martyr's death and Saul standing by. They laid their clothes down at a young man's feet whose name was Saul, and he saw Jesus in Stephen, and that's where he got under conviction. At the stoning of Stephen, he got under conviction. And he got saved on how it was like to be a Stephen, died a martyr's death, and someday stand before the judgment seat of Christ and draw interest off of Paul. What do you think about that? Draw interest off of Paul. Convicted at the stoning of Stephen. 1 John 4:17. I'd like to ask the congregation that knows that you're saved, the folk here tonight, I wonder how many boys and girls, how many teenagers, how many young adults, how many middle-aged folk, how many elderly folk have seen Jesus in me and you. 1 John 4:17, there's the verse. Because as He is, so are we in this world. Wonder how many boys, how many folks seen Jesus in me and you. God help us, serious thing. I mean serious for Him. I mean serious. When Saul got saved on the Damascus Road, what did he say, preachers? He said, "For aren't thou Lord?" When Zacchaeus got saved, he said, "Behold, Lord." When the old thief got saved, Luke 23, he said, "Lord, remember me." And Romans 10:9, fellas, just might as well face it. We use it all the time. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord. A lot of people want Him to be the Savior, but they kind of want to use Him like a spare tire. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus. He's a jealous God. He won't play second fiddle to no fiddler. Oh, no. Is everybody listening? Number four. Christianity without the Holy Ghost. That's what Mr. Booth said. He said, the danger of the 20th century, and it's happened. He must have been a spirit-filled man of God. He said this is what had happened, and it's happened. Number five. Heaven without hell. You hear very little preaching. 1977, I preached 1 week of the Western North Carolina camp meeting in 1977, but about 5-6 years ago, I preached 1 week of the Western North Carolina camp meeting. They always have 2 weeks. And the last night, could you believe the last night of that old-fashioned camp meeting? You're not supposed to preach a message like this on the last night of an old-fashioned camp meeting, especially if you're expecting them to invite you to come back. But the Holy Spirit definitely impressed me to preach on hell. And I was obedient. And I preached on hell. We had a number of folks saved. Number of folks saved on Saturday evening preaching on hell. An old preacher, you know him, Brother Ken, an old preacher, been preaching well 50 years. He came down the Sawdust Trail after the invitation, been preaching over 50 years, a warrior. He said, "Brother Allen, I've heard a lot of sermons the past year." Said, "I've heard hell mentioned in some sermons." He said, "This is the only message I've heard on hell in over a year. Only message." And in my study, in my library, no telling how many outline books I've got. I'm talking about skeletons. I'm not talking about sermons now. I'm talking about skeletons. I got an outline book, some of the greatest preachers in America. And Brother Ken, I went through that outline book. I'm talking about skeletons now. It's at least that thick, and there wasn't one outline in that book on hell. Not an outline. Not one outline. Not one outline in that book. And the Bible has much more to say about hell than it has to say about heaven. And don't you know if God said a lot about a certain doctrine, hey, what do you mean you'd say a lot about it? God help us now. Well, do you think that that is a pretty good introduction to the message? You think that's a pretty good introduction? will give me about 30 minutes now to preach the message. You can be seated.
Yep.
Now, I'd like you preachers to stand back up, if you will. All the preachers stand back up and look at me for just a moment. Did you know I didn't realize this until just a few months ago? I've been saved going on 40 years. I'm slow. I said, by listening, a couple of years to learn this. Tell me about Matthew 7, 21, 22, 23. Where will this passage, where will it be literally fulfilled at? There's not a doubt in my mind. It's got to be white throne judgment. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord. What about that? What about Luke 6, 46? Jesus said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? See, God's got a plan. Listen close now. No salvation in no denomination. No salvation in no denomination. No salvation in no organization. No salvation in no institution. No salvation in good works. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah had it right in Jonah chapter 2, verse 9. When he cried out from the belly of the whale, he made an A+. He said, salvation is of the Lord. Acts 4:12, never is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be S-A-V-E-T, saved. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as probably 1818, he'd been going over across town listening to the preacher preach on break up the fallow ground. Saturday night, severe weather. Sunday morning, he couldn't make it over across town. But he went into a Methodist mission, and the preacher had been preaching for mission. He didn't even make it that morning, but there was an exhorter there. And he got up and exhorted for about 12, 14 minutes. Now, I've got his name. I found out who the exhorter was. I've got his name somewhere, who that exhorter was. You know what he exhorted on? Isaiah 45:22, where God said, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for said I'm God and there's none else. And a young man by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon got born again. How would you like to be in that exhorter? And someday stand before the judgment seat of Christ and draw interest off of a Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, say John 5:22, the Father judgeth no man, but have committed all judgment unto the Son. Jesus will be sitting on that gray white throne. He'll be seated on that great white throne. Many will say unto me that in that day, religious folk. Hey, religious folk. No doubt there'll be a lot of deadness there. You know what Dr. R.G. Lee said? Brother Doyle Turner heard him say it. Dr. R.G. Lee, president of the Southern Baptist Convention 3 times. He heard Dr. R.G. Lee. I was told that he said it when he was preaching a meeting at the Concord Baptist Church, East Brainerd, Chattanooga, Tennessee, years ago. Dr. R.G. Lee said that he believed that 80% of the Southern Baptists was lost. 80%. You know what Dr. B.R. Lakin said before he went on to be the Lord? About 100 miles from our home, some of our men went over here, Dr. Lakin. He said 85% of the people that were being saved in his meetings were church members. 85%. That's what Dr. B.R. Lakin said. Dr. R.A. Torrey said before he went on to be with the Lord, he said, one of our greatest evangelistic fields is on our church rolls. Church members that's never been saved in an old-fashioned country church where heaven and hell was preached and the gospel was preached in a revival meeting, morning service. My wife made a profession at the age of 9, did not get saved. And she joined the church and she was ducked. You said, now what in the world are you talking about, ducked? Well, baptism is church ordinance, isn't it? How can you baptize somebody that's never been saved? You duck them. They go, it's a church ordinance. They go down dry sinners and come up wet sinners. But at the age of 13, in that same church, White Grace Baby Church, it was an old-fashioned country church, and it's a miracle. Hey, it's still old-fashioned.
Amen.
Still old-fashioned. And at the age of 13, she rode to church that morning on her father, on her dad's Putwood truck. And the man of God got up and preached on the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the power of God. And the Holy Spirit took the word, and my wife was pricked in the heart with the precious word of God. The Holy Spirit reproved her and called her, hey, and she saw herself lost. Riding back home that day, she didn't get saved that morning, but riding back home that day on her dad's Putwood truck, she afraid it's going to have wreck, she's going to get killed before she get home. When she got home, she didn't go to the kitchen for dinner. She went to her bedroom, got down on her knees, and right there in her bedroom, cried out from her seat, hallelujah, got gloriously saved. Hey, got gloriously saved. Hey, got saved. You know the best time to count your converts, pastors? Best time to count your converts is 5 years after the meeting. That's when to count them. Count them 5 years after the meeting. Go back 5 years after the meeting and count them. Is it John 15:16? 16:15, check it, Ken. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you, ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. George Whitfield, he preached on you must be born again hundreds of times. Benjamin Franklin. I don't want to go in front of these speakers here, but I'm going to walk. Benjamin Franklin was listening to George Whitfield preach open air meeting. Benjamin Franklin stepped off 1 mile and he could still hear George Whitfield preaching. Stepped off a mile for him. George Whitfield. I'm almost positive that I read that Brother George Whitfield preached on you must be born again at the least 3,000 times. They said, Mr. Whitfield, why do you preach on you must be born again? He said, because you must be born again. Had over 600,000 conversions. And last time he preached, they followed him home. What a preacher. Begging him to preach again. He went in his room, got a candle, come back out on this little deck, and he said, he lit the candle and said, I'll preach till the candle goes out. And Brother George Whitfield preached until the candle went out. And went in, went to bed, and went to heaven. George Whitfield. Boy, that's something. Preached on, you must be born again 3,000 times. Now, these are religious folks that I'm talking about here. They're religious. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. That'll be the saddest words that will ever fall on natural-minded ears. I never knew you. I was thinking just a second ago, just 1 second, about our organist. What a family. The Rickett family. Her dad's still a deacon at the South Calvin Baptist Church. He's probably 86, still an active deacon. Mother went on to heaven about 3-4 years ago. What a family. The whole family, large family. Listen, Brother Jay Glass, preaching for me, Brother Ken, on a Sunday evening 21 years ago. Could you believe, Pastor? I still remember what he was preaching from. Hebrews 12:1-2. That's what he's preaching on. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. That's what he's preaching on. I'm setting up the choir loft. You know how our choir loft is, Ken. I'm setting up that choir loft watching them young people back there, them little boys and girls. And if they get to talking, if I just get their attention and look up at me, all I've got to do is look at them. And I'm sitting in that choir loft, and the office burden come over me. Holy Spirit said, when he gets through preaching, I want you to preach. I said, I want you to preach, Holy Spirit. So I came out of the choir loft and I sat down in the pulpit chair there upon the podium. Brother Christ knew. Brother Christ, when he finished preaching, he didn't give no invitation. He just turned it over to me. I got up and preached on hell. What the move? In fact, that bothered me. Went on home. When I got home, Mrs. Chunny Irwin called, school teacher. Very refined. Precious person. She said, I've got this awful burden. Said, this third time I've had it. Said, I had it one time at the Blackwood Springs Baptist Church. This third time. I said, tell me about when you got saved, Sister Chunny. Bethlehem Baptist Church, 12 years old. Hey, look real to me. I said, the only thing I know to do is I'll go pray and you go pray. And before I got through praying, she got saved and she called our home and she didn't even hang. She was so excited. Now, I'm talking about a very refined person, educated. She didn't even hang up the phone. She was shouting through the house. That's been 21 years ago. She's still playing that organ, and it's holding good. We don't have a fourth as many backsliders. We think we've got a lot of folks never slid forward. I said, we don't have a fourth as many backsliders and preachers. I'll never use the term. I used to use it. I won't use it anymore. Easy believism. I'll not be using that term anymore. Because when a sinner is pricked in the heart with the precious word of God, the Holy Spirit reproves that sinner and draws that sinner. It's not hard believism. So I'll not be using the term easy believism anymore. You say, what's going to use? Hollywood evangelism, high-pressured evangelism, psychology, sad stories to get people down the aisle, think they're under conviction. You know I'm right. You just might as well say, man, you already know if you've never heard me before. You've already figured it out. I'm a middle-aged man, 57, but you already know I'm from the old school. And I don't know where I'd be a novice. I might still be a novice. I don't know whether you'd count me a novice or not. I heard Dr. W.A. Costner many years ago. He preached over 700 meetings, and he wanted to preach 800. And when I heard him, I said, Lord, be your will. I'd like to preach that many meetings. If you could get that, to be your will, I'd like to preach that many meetings. I stand here this evening, 57. God's been so good to me. I've already preached at least 1,400 weeks meetings. So I don't think you'd say I'm a novice. I usually spend about 51 weeks a year with Baptists, and when you spend, every day, and when you spend that much time with us, hey, ought to know a little bit about us, don't you think? And then while I profess to them, I never knew you. Okay, you can be seated, give me about 15 or 20 minutes, and I'll be through. Now, 2 Corinthians, have you got your Bible? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Follow me through the Scriptures now. Paul said, examine yourselves. That's what I want each individual, at the old-fashioned Blessed Hope camp meeting, I want each individual, I want the boys and girls, the teenagers, the young adults, the middle-aged folk, the elderly folk, hey, I want you to examine yourself tonight, not somebody else. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Reckon what he's talking about. Something to think about, isn't it? Reckon it could be Ephesians 2:89. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5, not works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Examine yourself. Look at me. This is not one of the most important things in your life. Hey, this is number one. Where will you be? Where will you be 1,000,000 years from tonight? I'm going to tell you where you'll be. You'll either be in the New Jerusalem or you'll be in the lake of fire and brimstone 1,000,000 years, because we're on the last leg of the journey. Hey, it's about over. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Notice, prove your own faith. Paul had been in Ephesus for 3 years, Acts 20, 20, and 21. He said, I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. They said, I've showed you. I'd rather walk it, talk it. He said, I've showed you. I'd rather for the meanest man or the meanest woman in our county to have something good to say about me is the best Christian. Because Colossians 4, 5, Paul said, walk in wisdom towards them that are without. Redeeming the time. 1 Thessalonians 4, 12, that you may walk honestly towards them that are without, that you may have lack of nothing. He said, I've showed you. I've showed you and taught you publicly. Prove your own selves. Notice this little term now. Look at it. Know you not your own selves? Know you not your own selves? 1 John 5 chapters. Longest chapter. Chapter 2. 29 verses. How many times do you think that word know is found in 1 John? 27 times you have that word know. What about people talking about getting saved and not knowing it? Getting resurrected now, Ephesians 2:1, and you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. John 6:63, it's the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak to you, their spirit and their life. John 3:6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit, Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. You mean you can get resurrected from death, get out of the graveyard, never know it. 27 times in 1 John, you have that word, no. I'm glad you can be saved and know it. Notice now, look at that verse. Second, know you not your own selves? Here's how. That Jesus Christ is in you. That Jesus Christ is in you. Except you be reprobates. Now, if He's living in you this evening, in the person of the sweet, sweet Holy Spirit, you're saved. And if He's not living in you, hey, I want to tell you, you're lost as sure as you're sitting in one of these chairs. Jesus Christ is in you. John 14:16, what did He say? What did He say? I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Now, you know where the twin brother is to this verse I just quoted? It's Galatians 2:20 if you want to turn to it. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But said, Christ liveth. Paul said, Christ liveth in me. And said, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live through the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. 29 years ago, about this time of the year, I was preaching a meeting in Ocala, Georgia, Northside Baptist Church. And could you believe preachers, pastors, evangelists, missionaries? Could you believe Brother Ken? We had it scheduled. It was a 2-week meeting. Dave Fisher, pastor. I remember during that meeting, we had 40 church members saved. 40. I remember one fine young man. I want to look over the congregation. Brother Jonathan, if you'll come here. About Jonathan, a little bit. Come here, if you will, Jonathan. About your height. Might have been a little bit taller than you, Brother Jonathan. But he was real broad shoulders. Training. What a brilliant young man. Training to be an engineer on the railroad. They had him set aside. They had him elected. He's going to ordain as a deacon of the Northside Baptist Church. But I remember during that meeting, hey, he got under Holy Ghost conviction. He got born again. I remember next to the last night of that meeting, me and my wife and Samuel. Samuel will be 31 January 15th. And he's just a little bitty fella. I know it's been 29 years now. Everybody look at me. We spent the night with one of the finest families in Fitzgerald, Georgia. The former chairman of the deacon board. I preached on Saturday night. Now, this is a miracle. Don't you think I've got a full stack now? Hey, but I preached. Remember what I preached on that Saturday night? I preached on Calvary. And when they'd come to the place which is called Calvary, that ought to make your heart flutter. There they crucified Him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. For said, they know not what they do. And they parted His raiment and cast lots. Preached on Calvary. Gave them passion. Here come this man down the aisle for me, chairman. Weeping. I just thought he's coming and pray. A few minutes he got up, Brother Ken. He said, Brother Allen, can I say something? I said, yes, sir. He said, you folk know me here from Northside Baptist Church. How that I've been faithful to this church. I've done everything I possibly could to see this church grow and prosper. But I've got something I've got to tell you tonight. I've never been saved until tonight. And he got no pressure now. Just preaching on Calvary. No pressure. And he got gloriously saved. Right after our first Thanksgiving meeting, this will be our 23rd, our first Thanksgiving meeting. I remember where I went the week after our first Thanksgiving meeting. I went to Tri-City, Tennessee. That's Bristol, Kingsport, and Johnson City. Bluff City, Tennessee. You can see the church off of Interstate 81, Gunning's Baptist Church. I remember I preached on Monday evening. We had quite a few folks come forward and pray. I preached on Tuesday evening with 8 or 10 to saved. I preached on Wednesday evening with one of the families there in the Gunning's Baptist Church. He hauled produce from Atlanta to some of the supermarkets there in the Tri-City area. He left on Tuesday night. He was going to make it back for service Wednesday night, but he couldn't stay awake. He didn't make it back. You know why he didn't make it back? His wife was a leader among the young people. And if he'd been sitting beside her, she might not have got saved. But I preached on Wednesday, she might have let pride. But I preached on Wednesday night, hey, we had 20 saved Wednesday night. Preachers, how would you like to get some more services like this? Thursday night, we come in for service, and Pastor, I sense there's so much conviction. Nearly scared the choir director. I said, go ahead and sing an invitation song. Begin the service. They started coming and getting saved. Hit the same way Friday. I didn't get to preach Friday night. Same thing. People getting saved. I finally got to preach again Saturday night. We had 40 church members saved during that meeting. And we hadn't used the balcony till after that Wednesday night service. But let me tell you something. They had to enlarge that auditorium. They stayed in the spirit of revival. Hey, 3 years. 3 years. 3 years. 3 years. They stayed in the spirit of revival. Service after service. 3 years had been lodged that auditorium. And we got folk that are sincere. They're just as sincere as any saved person. Just like Cornelius. Read about Cornelius in Acts 10 and 11. Oh, he prayed to God always. Offered up alms deeds. But he got saved. Cornelius got born again. Is everybody listening? God help us, seriously. I quoted Galatians 2:20. I'll be through just in a minute. I'm moving on now. 1 John 4:4. Hear of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Is He in you this evening? If He's in you, 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in Himself. He that believeth not, God has made Him. Did you know Dr. Bob Gray, his wife went on to be with the Lord a few years ago? But did you know, she hadn't been saved long. Lived with that godly man. First time I ever met him 38 years ago. Dr. Bob Gray. Jacksonville, Florida. Lived with him for years and years. Lost. What about that? God help us. Serious thing. And this 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And if you're saved this evening, and if you know that you're saved, I'm telling you in 2 minutes whether or not you're saved. I'm taking the King James Bible, and in 2 minutes, I can tell you whether or not you've ever been saved. Amen. 2 minutes is all it'd take. Number one, have you got the Holy Spirit living in you? 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? And He's just as much a person as God's a person. He's just as much a person as Jesus Christ is a person. He's been living in me now going on 40 years. We've been supping together. And if I never do have another good feeling, if I never do, I'm saved. I mean, if I never have another good feeling, never. I'm saved. Let me quote that 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 again. What? Know you not? You better look at me, young people, that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. Said you're not your own. So since we're not our own, if you've been saved, we ought to quit acting like we are. Said you're not your own, for said you're bought with price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Know you not that you're the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God's holy, which temple ye are. Now, these next 4 or 5 verses, I want you to read them along with me. I'm gonna read them audibly, and I want you to read them silently. Romans 8:6-9. When you get to Romans 8, raise your hand. When you get to Romans 8, we're going to start reading in verse 6. Raise your hand when you get to Romans 8. I'll go ahead. I may quote it twice. Notice what Paul said. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. For the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Notice now, look close. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And I want each one of you to look now. I want you to see a spirit there starts with a capital S. Does it? Well, it's talking about the Holy Spirit then, isn't it? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Now, if you've got the Holy Spirit living in you, saving your saved. If you don't have the Holy Spirit living in you, I don't care how religious you are. I've seen bus captains get saved. I've seen deacons get saved. I remember asked Brother Jonathan, Brother Bobby Watts pastors the best church in Cherokee, North Carolina. The best one. Listen, his granddaddy was a preacher. He's the oldest son in the Coleman Carolyn Watts family. And at eight years old, his daddy surrendered to preach. And everybody was crying. Everybody was crying. They was happy, they was rejoicing. And Bobby was crying. They thought he was under conviction, preacher. Got him to make a profession because he's crying. He went ahead and finished high school, graduated. Listen, after high school, went to Tabernacle Bible Institute there in Greenville, South Carolina. Got Carl B. Sider. Spent 4 years, graduated second in his class. And one night at Faith Baptist Camp, running down the side, the right side of the tabernacle, rejoicing. The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost said, "Why are you running? Lost." So on a Wednesday night, it scared him so bad he didn't come back on Thursday night. But he came back on Friday night, and he called me Saturday night, and I went out to their home, stayed about 1:30, and never did get it settled. He went to Cherokee, North Carolina, and preached at Straight Fort Baptist Church for Brother Norman West Sunday morning, Sunday night. Went on to Easley, South Carolina, Monday, and to where his dad and mother lived. And went to bed Tuesday night, and laying there in the bed, he told his wife, Sandy, that's his wife's name, Sandy. He said, "Sandy, get out of the bed and pray with me. I'm lost." And he got gloriously saved. He's a good friend, a brother child, a good friend of mine. Bobby Watts got born again. You did know that John Wesley preached 7 years before he got saved. That don't bother me at all. That don't bother me at all. Not at all. That don't make, you know what Brother Doyle Turner said? He's 91 now. Been teaching music over 60 years. He said, "If you got saved, it wouldn't shake me. It wouldn't shake my salvation." Brother Doyle Turner said, "It wouldn't shake my salvation if you got born again." Second way you can know whether or not you've ever been saved. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I don't care if you're a little boy, little girl, teenage boy, teenage girl. Now look at me. When you get saved, I don't care if you have, a very godly daddy, a godly mother, strong on discipline, trained in a very godly home. Hey! If you get saved as a little boy or a little girl, there'll be some changes. When you get saved, there'll be some changes. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We quote Ephesians 2:8-9. Why don't we quote verse 10? "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before ordained that we should walk in them." Ephesians 4:24, "And that you put on the new man, which after God's created in righteousness and true holiness." Galatians 6:15, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." James 1:26, "If any among you seem to be religious, bridleth not his own tongue, but deceiveth his own heart." This man's religion is fine. Listen at verse 27. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. 1 John 2:3-4. "Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, 'I know of him,' and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth's not in him." That's the third way you can tell. Second way where you can tell whether or not you've ever been saved. That's, hey, That's King James Bible. You can't argue with that. I'm giving you too many scriptures, and I'm lightly dividing them. I'm not taking any of them out of their context. I'm keeping them right in their context. You know I am. The third way you can know whether or not you've been saved is 1 John 3:14 and 15. For we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death, and whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. So just go ahead and write it down. If you've got murder in your heart tonight towards a brother or sister in Christ, just write it down right now. Write it right there beside John 3:15. 1 John 3:15. You're lost. You're lost. Whosoever hated his brother's murder, you know that no murder hath eternal life abiding in him. You know every saved person's got eternal life. You know every saved person has given to them eternal life. John 5:24 is all I'd have to quote about that. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believe on him that sent me, present tense, right now, hath everlasting life. Amen. He shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word and tongue as cheap, but indeed and in truth. Fourth way you can know, sound about truth. Fourth way you can know what not you're saved. Hebrews 10:25. I knew nothing about the local church if I look at me. I've never been to Sunday school. I've never been to a morning worship service. I've been to a few revivals. Never been to Sunday school. Never been to a morning worship service before I got under conviction. Convicted, 1954. Saved. Stayed under conviction. Didn't know how to be saved. If I'd had a good gospel track, I could have got saved. I prayed every day probably for 8 months. Didn't know how to be saved. Nobody had ever talked the Bible. Nobody had ever even told me how to be saved. Convicted 1954, saved in 1955. And look at me now. I didn't know Hebrews 10:25 was in the Bible, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together. It's the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more you see the day approaching. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church, gave himself for it. 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in stores, God will prosper to him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Matthew 16:18, I say also unto thee that art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Look at me. Third Sunday in August, 1955, I joined the Mount Zion Baptist Church. I still remember what I said when I joined the church. I said, I feel like the Lord has saved me and I want to join the church to be baptized. They took me right out in the lake, baptized me with some others. Knew nothing. Now look at me now. I knew nothing about the local church. Reason why we have to go visit them two or three times a week. We can't even hardly get them, our little professions, we can't even hardly get them church long enough to duck them. And then we have to visit them every other week to get them to come to church. And 3 or 4 months after, a lot of times 3 or 4 months after we get them professions, you'd have to hire an FBI to find them.
That's right.
You can't even find them. Now, you better look at me. You better look at me. I knew nothing about the local church, nothing about it. Going on 40 years now, preacher. Going on 40 years now. I've missed 2 or 3 Sundays being in church. Going on 40 years. And one of them Sundays is last year when we had the large snow. I'm talking about in northwest Georgia. At the back of the dining hall, it drifted 10 feet deep. We couldn't even get out of the driveway. But we had service at our house. Brother Jimbo Seaton preached Sunday morning, and Brother Mike Prevett preached Sunday evening. But I've missed 2 or 3 services being in church and going on 40 years. They've never had to send the visitation committee to check on me. Look
yes.
at me now.
Yeah.
I want you to look
there
at me. Because I got my little feelings hurt.
Yeah.
And I was back at home, pow. I'm through. Last point, number 5. Fifth way you can tell whether or not you've ever really been saved. 119th Psalm, verse 140. Thy word's very pure, therefore thy servants loveth it. Listen at 1 Peter 2:2? As newborn babes. Notice now, it's newborn. They've just been saved. sir. He said, it's newborn babes. Newborn. They just follow the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. I'd like to ask you a question. Do you spend as much time reading your Bible, studying your Bible, praying, as you do watching television?
Amen.
You ought to answer that tonight to the Lord.
Yeah.
I said, you spend as much time reading, studying, and praying as you do watching television. Do you know more about the stars in Hollywood than you do the stars in heaven?
Amen. Right.
I don't believe nobody on planet Earth could have had a greater hunger in the first Word of God than I had when I got saved. The first 5 years I was saved, they said, Brother Sammy Allen, he's losing his mind. He's going crazy. Said he's reading the Bible so much. He's studying the Bible so much. Said he's losing his mind. They said, haven't you heard of people going crazy reading the Bible? Preacher, I don't think it hurt me. It didn't help me. I don't think it helped me, but I know it didn't hurt me. Sir, I slept on my Bible 20 years. I slept with it. For 20 years, I slept on the Bible. And if you'll come over to the Day's End tonight when we get over to the motel, I'll have one close enough now that I won't have to run over no furniture down the room to get to one. If I need one during the night, I got plenty of them with me. Wonder if there's anybody, if Dr. Graham was here in his family, how many children in your family, Ken?
Seven.
And you have how many now? And there were seven in y'all's family. Seven. Your wife had to step out. I'll just use you. Stand up. Anybody here have over, God bless you, with over seven children? Brother Ken's got seven and got one in heaven. You've really got eight. That's why I just got one in heaven growing up. Anybody here, God bless you, with as many as seven children? Would you raise your hand? Stand up, please, ma'am. I want to ask y'all a question. You remember when your first baby was born? I'm not talking about the one Lord took, but of these seven, did you and the wife have to wake it up tonight to feed it? Wake y'all up. It woke y'all up. Was yours first in the same way? Second one, same way? Was yours third one, fourth one, fifth one, sixth one, and number seven? Same way? If it hadn't been, your wife would have said, or you'd have said to your husband, and you'd have said, your wife would have said to you, hey, Kitty, we got to carry this baby to a specialist. He won't eat. Here's what I'm saying. You better write it down. It said, it's newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow. It said, newborn. Matthew 5:6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And if you never did have that, you better write her down right there. You're lost. It's impossible to get saved and not have a hunger and thirst for the Word of God. It said, it's newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. I worked at Dixiebell Mills while I was down on the farm. I'd read of a night. Mother would have to come in and wake me up, get me on the bed. I'd read to 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. I worked at Dixiebell Mills, Bell Textiles, 7.5 years. I had a New Testament and some had seal skin backs on. If anybody's got one, listen, mine's gone. I don't know what happened to it. Had seal skin. If you've got one, I want to buy it from you this week. Sealskin bags. I carried it with me. And I had a Bible. I had a complete Bible over in the bins. I couldn't wait. If I went into work at 6 o'clock, I couldn't hardly wait till 8 o'clock to rush in the break room, get me something to drink, Dad. I'd have 8 minutes to read my Bible. Same way at 10 o'clock. We've got another 10-minute break. Same way at lunch. Then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, hey, we've got another break. I love it. Love that book. For going on 40 years now, 119th Psalm, verse 105, thy word said it's a lamp, it's been a lamp unto my feet, and it's been a light unto my path. It's got the path lit up from here all the way to the New Jerusalem. You don't have to be in the dark about what's going to take place out in the future. I've already read the last chapter. I know just exactly how this thing's going to wind up. Now, I've done my best. Did you pass the test or did you fail? Number one, if you've got the Holy Spirit living in you. Number two, was you made a new creature. Number three, do you love the brethren? Number four, do you love the church? Number five, do you love the Word of God? And number six, when you do wrong, does He chastise you? Does He chasten you? Hebrews 12:8, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you're bastards and not sons. 6. King James Bible ways you can know if you've ever really been born again. It's possible, Brother Ken, you may have been there a few years ago. You may have been there that afternoon, Friday afternoon, Faith Baptist Camp. Had 3 short messages, may have been 10-minute messages. Then Brother Denver Bowen preached 20 minutes. No pressure now. I remember in that service, we had 17 saved. Guess who one of them was? Missionary from Africa. I'm going to try to give you his testimony. Here's his testimony after he got saved. He said, what if I got killed on my way to Africa? Or what if I got killed while I was serving in Africa? Or what if I got killed on my way back? He said, I'd have been in hell, and people would have thought I was in heaven. Now, Brother Ken, I really want to preach something else tonight. I really didn't want to preach this tonight. But I knew it was either preach it or quench the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's all. The Holy Spirit definitely impressed me to preach this message tonight. Was it for you? Did the Holy Spirit have me to preach this message for you tonight? If you're not real careful, let me tell you what will get you. Pride.
Yeah.
Them devils will tell you. Them devils will tell you. I don't call them demons. I know the Greek word in the New Testament is demons. I call them what the King James Bible calls them. Devils.
Amen.
Them devils will work in your mind and say, what's people going to think about you? Hey, what does it matter? I know what Christians are going to do.
Right.
Christians is going to rejoice with you. You mean you're going to let that pride take you to hell? Proverbs 16:18, pride go before destruction. Holy Spirit before fire. Are you going to let prestige, popularity? Hey, you're going to let your position, because you're a bus captain? Are you tucked the Bible and showed people how to be saved? Are you a deacon, Sunday school teacher, lost, been knowing it for some time? But that pride,
yes.
That pride's going to carry more people to hell. I know of nothing that will carry more people to hell than pride. But yet, so was this message for you? If it was, junk at pride, junk at church membership. You know what Dr. Dunn Green said, and you've heard him say it. God bless Dr. Green. Mrs. Green was 6 children. He said only 2 of them got saved the first time they made professions. He said the rest of them made 2, 3, 4 professions before they ever really got born again.
Yeah, right.
Brother Ken's coming here to pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our pianist is coming. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, not one individual looking, nobody peeping around. I want you to close them eyes tight enough that you won't see whether that person next to you raises her hand or not. If you're not careful, you'll raise your hand because the person next to you does. How many in this gymnasium, how many in this service this evening could raise your hand and say, Brother Allen, the message was not for me tonight? No, the message was not for me. I've got the Holy Ghost living in me. I was made a new creature. I love the brethren, love the church, love the Word of God. When I do wrong, He chastens me. The message, Brother Allen, the Holy Spirit didn't have you to preach this message for me tonight. What if on your way home tonight you meet somebody drunk or somebody on drugs and they're swerving all over the road and you get pulled off the road and they come over and hit you head on? What if Jesus comes back tonight? Will you hear the shout? Will you hear the voice of the archangel? Will you hear the trump of God, or will you be left? If you've never been saved, you won't hear it. How many of you can raise your hand? Be careful now. Brother Allen, I'm not guessing. I'm not hoping. I'm not thinking. The message wasn't for me tonight. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Raise your hand. Be careful now. I want you to be careful about raising your hand. Okay, you can let them down. Wonder how many is in this tabernacle tonight. I said, Brother Allen, I'm going to be honest, I'm going to be truthful tonight. The message was for me. Brother Allen, the message was for me tonight. I don't have that blessed assurance that Mrs. Fanny Crosby wrote about. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Thank God for that hand that's already up. Wonder, thank God for that hand there. Wonder how many others. Thank God for that dear man that just raised his hand. If this congregation would be honest, no tellings how many they are in this congregation now. If Jesus should come back right now, we'd be shocked. It probably one of the best congregations that's gathered in the state of Arkansas this evening is gathered right here, but we'd probably be shocked if Jesus should come back right now, how many would be left? Thank God for all these hands that's been raised, or how many others? Well, I'm going to be honest now, I'm going to be truthful. I don't have that blessed assurance that Mrs. Fanny Crosby wrote about. Pray for me, Brother Allen. Would you raise your hand? What about it, teenagers? Teenagers, what about it? Boys and girls, what about it? Young adults, what about it? Middle-aged folk, hey, what if it be somebody else? Pray for me. The message is for me tonight, but Adam, pray for me. Would you raise your hand? I make one other proposition in closing. You that raised your hand and said, Brother Allen, I know I'm saved. How many of you can raise your hand tonight and say, Brother Allen, as far as I know, there's no weights, no unconfessed sins. My life's fully submitted to Him. Brother Allen, the line's clear. As far as I know, there's nothing between me and my Lord tonight. Would you raise your hand? That's a very serious problem. That's serious business. One of you here tonight and said, Brother Allen, I know I've been saved. Young man, I appreciate you wiping them tears. No doubt tonight, sure not. Wonder how many of you have not said, Brother Allen, I know I've been saved. I listen real close. I examine myself. But Brother Allen, I've got cold. Not been reading the Bible like I should. Not been praying like I should. Not been witnessing like I should. Not had the burden for the loss I once had. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Yes, hands going up all over this gymnasium. I mean, hands going up everywhere. You can let them down. Now, my first proposition, Brother Choir Director, I'd like for y'all to play and sing, and just I'd like for her to play just as I am. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, you that raise your hand on the first proposition that you don't have that blessed assurance, why don't you get up right now and make that first step and come down here and let us pray with you. Wonder who'd be first. Brother Allen, I don't have that blessed assurance. I don't know that I'm saved. You that lifted your hand, why don't you get up right now and come? That first step will be your hardest one. Next ones will be so easy. You that raised your hand and said, Brother Allen, I don't have that blessed assurance. I want you to look up here at me for just a minute. Nobody else looking. Nobody else looking. I want you to look up here at me for just a minute. Sir, let me ask you a question. Tonight, during this service, have you been pricked in the heart with the precious Word of God? Has the Holy Spirit reproved you? You feel Him drawing you tonight? That's the only time you can be saved. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me joy. Sir, this can be the greatest night of your whole life. Why don't you get up right now and come? Let us pray with you. That's right, sir. Thank God this man's coming to get born again. Brother Ken, pray with him. He's coming to get saved. Pray with this man. He's lost. Wonder how many others you that raised your hand. If he's drawing you, why don't you get up right now and come? You'll never regret it. There'll never be a day of your life. Why don't you get up and come right now? And all of you that raised your hand and said, Brother Allen, I've been saved, but there's some weights I need to lay aside. There's some unconfessed sins I need to confess. All of you that raised your hand, must have been 100 of you. Why don't you get up right now and come? Lay aside every weight. Confess every unconfessed sin. Fully submit your life to the Lord tonight. Oh, Lamb of God, I come. You know what could happen at this altar tonight? There's enough folk that's already come forward. If you'd lay aside every weight tonight, confess every unconfessed sin. Young lady, come here a minute. What do you need tonight more than anything in the world? Well, you can have him tonight. Just get down there and talk.